I just want to share a few things before I get into what I want to speak on today. But I was just thinking when you were sharing the story about your friend Steph that some of you might have heard some of this testimony before in some kind of River All Together meetings. But a friend of my parents who's in his 50s called Les, about a year ago, he'd had cancer and it had moved all through his body. He's completely riddled with it. And it was getting to the point where it was looking like it was going to be terminal. And do you remember when we had that first revival meeting, those of you who were around then, in May, when we had Cheyenne? Do you remember that? Well, in the day, some of you will have been at it, we had Leaders Day with Cheyenne. And Cheyenne, prophesied over Chris, that obviously we all know, those of you who don't know, Chris is the overall leader of River Church, and he was healed miraculously of terminal cancer when he was 15. And Cheyenne prophesied over him that, you know, God was going to do it again, what he'd done in his life, as he was going to pray for people. So that evening, my dad and some of his friends from his church came to that revival meeting. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get Chris to pray over a tissue, to take back to this guy Les because of this prophecy he'd got. So I asked Chris, and Chris didn't actually know until recently that that's what he'd prayed over. And so that happened. And then a few months went on and it was terminal. And when I was in Mozambique, I was talking to my dad on the phone. This is in the summer last year. He was saying about it. And I said, oh, you should get Chris and Judith to go and pray for him because Chris has had this prophecy. Anyway, so they arranged for him to pray for him. And so that happened then. And then he's come to other revival meetings that we've had. And he came to the conference that we had last year as well. And Bill Johnson and Cheyenne also prayed for him amongst other people. Anyway, towards the end of last year, he went to have a scan and the cancer cells, which had been growing, had stopped growing. They were still there, but they'd stopped growing. So that was an encouraging bit of news. Then in January, I think it's January, I might not get the complete dates correct, but he had a scan on his brain and all the tumours in his brain had gone. It's amazing. Then, I think February, he had a scan on his liver. All the cancer cells had gone from his liver. And I think my dad was saying, well, we just need to pray for his kidney now. So I don't know where that's at. But so God was doing these amazing miracles. But you know what? I just really realizing through this story about how much it is a spiritual battle, and we need to kind of understand it in that way as we pray about these things, because he had all of this stuff. And then after that, he got pneumonia, and he got the fungal type, which can just kill you in a couple of days. And so he was in hospital with that, and everyone still keep on praying. And actually, Chris and Judith actually went to pray for him again, because it's really felt like, got this level of breakthrough, we need to keep on pushing in. And within a few days, he actually came out of hospital and, he was on antibiotics. And I'm not quite sure exactly where it's at to yet. We're still in it. But I just want to share that to encourage you. But also that there's something I just feel in that, God is calling us to engage with the battle over these things, that God does want us to really break through. All of us will know people, and maybe people really close to us, our family, partners that have died from cancer, and it's a terrible thing. And it can be hard to kind of really pray for someone's healing when we know some things that we've had that are real disappointments to us, some real deep pain and hurt that we've had to endure. But I don't understand why all those things happen, but I do know that God does want to heal people, and he really wants us to push into this. So I just want to encourage us to really go for pushing in, for seeing breakthrough in cancer, because I do think it's a battle, and I think our prayers do make a difference, even though we may not kind of realize it at the time. But just encourage us to really go for that, and to know that we actually are seeing some miracles happen, because that story isn't just about... You may have not known that story, but I feel like that story is for all of us as River, because we're all together pushing in for these things, and he was in the atmosphere of what we're pushing in for. So that story is all our story. So, yeah, I just wanted to encourage you with that. And just another thing before I get into what I want to talk on. I'll just find it. If you just go with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I was just, as we were worshipping, I just felt to just share this passage and just share some thoughts that I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me for us. And I just really feel this applies to individuals here today, but also to you as a congregation. So we just go 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. I'll just read this to you and then I'll share my thoughts. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbours, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, and your sons then pour it into all those vessels, and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." And I just felt that, first of all, for people, some people here as individuals, it could be in a financial situation that you're feeling really desperate. I'm going to be talking about finances today, but I'll get into that in a minute. But it could be that you're feeling really desperate, you are in a desperate situation, you need God to come through for you, and you feel like you haven't really got anything, you know. I mean, she probably wouldn't have thought her jar of oil was much to have, but she had something. Or it could be how you're feeling in terms of your gifts before God. You feel like you haven't got anything, you've only got this little thing, or whatever it is, that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he impresses it on your heart, I just want to encourage you that I really feel that God is saying that he wants to use that thing that maybe feels small and insignificant that we have and bring supernatural multiplication to it and do a miracle. So if you feel that that applies to you, I just want to ask you just to be brave, because this is a safe place, and could you just stand to your feet, because I just want to pray. So if you feel that that applies to you, just stand, don't hold back, go for it. And yeah, if you just want to pray, those around, those who are standing, maybe just put your hands on them, and let's just pray just for this revelation from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for those that are standing, Lord, that are in some kind of desperate situation in some way, Lord, where they don't feel they really need you to come through for them. And Lord, I just want to pray that your Holy Spirit would just come and just show them what they do have. And I just pray just for a release of faith, Lord, to see how you can bring, and you will bring, supernatural multiplication, a supernatural breakthrough in their situations, Lord. Lord, I just pray for those eyes of faith to see. Lord, I pray for ears to hear, Lord, anything that you may tell them to do to engage with that miracle. Lord, I just pray that you would just open their ears to hear what you're saying. And Lord, we just pray that even this week, Lord, we would see some incredible miracles take place, Lord, in these situations that are represented here, Lord, that would bring glory to your name, Lord, that would encourage us in your ways. So we just pray your blessing over these people, Lord. Amen. And just following on from that, I just really feel that it applies to you as a church, that you may feel, I don't know, I don't want to put things, but you might feel, oh, we're just small, or it's just the beginnings, or all these kind of things. But that is not, doesn't even come into it. You offer what you have to God, like that little jar of oil, and God will come and use it as you cooperate with him and bring supernatural increase. Is that exciting? Yes. So I just want to encourage you as a congregation to take hold of that and to believe it. And not just think, oh, that's just a nice little thing that makes us feel nice for a few moments. But I know, I don't actually believe, but I believe that this is a word from God for you, God wants to take what you have and bring supernatural multiplication. Okay, so today I want to talk about trusting in God's economy. Does that sound good? In these times that we're living in, trusting in God's economy and being free. And I just want to encourage us in this, and just really believing that the Holy Spirit is just going to bring fresh encouragement to us, fresh revelation to us, what that means in our lives, in the world that we are living in. What time do I need to finish by? Okay, great. So, I'm just going to share different thoughts with you and just trust that Holy Spirit will speak to you. So 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 says, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Whoops, hitting my teeth with that. I'm sure we've all heard that verse loads of times. And it's important to remember that money itself is not evil. It's the love of money that's evil. Money can be used for incredible good. It's not a bad thing. It's neutral. It's the love of money that is the evil thing. And you know, money can just, it can bring us great joy, but it also can be just this tremendous burden on our backs, the lack of it. Or even having money can be a real burden, knowing how to use it well and all this kind of stuff. And you know, money engages with us at that heart level, and I just really believe that that's where God wants to speak to us at, so that we can walk in peace and joy and freedom in the area of money. And Matthew 6 verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And some translations call money mammon or riches. So we can't serve both God and money. And it can be helpful sometimes just to take that step back, especially in things, you know, that are going on at the moment, and actually be like, okay, in this situation, you know, am I serving God or am I serving money? And just asking the Holy Spirit to kind of unveil anything in our hearts that he just wants to come and put right in that way. But the really exciting news in Psalm 24 verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." So actually God is the richest man in the whole world. I always remind myself of this because it's so encouraging. And so therefore actually riches and abundance and resources are good things, because that's what God has. They're good things. They're really, really good things. But what we're going to really look at today is, which economy are we trusting in? Are we trusting in the world's economy, or are we going to trust in God's economy? And, you know, the current times tell us very clearly that we can't actually trust in the world's economy because it's falling apart. That wasn't so obvious in other times of recent years, but it is now. And you know, if we just look at the world around us, I mean, the media are constantly hyping us with negativity about how terrible everything is and it's all going to go to pot. And if we feed ourselves with that, we can really become anxious and worried, all of these kind of things. And you know, I did a similar talk to this at the Journey back in January, and at that week a guy who was a major, 65, retired in the army, he had shot himself in a park in Southampton because he'd just lost his life savings in the kind of alleged fraud scandal in America that you probably have all heard of. And it's just such a terrible thing to think that this poor man had put his complete trust in the world's economy, and that had failed him. And it was that severe to him that he, you know, he'd lost, he had all, his hope was lost. All he could do was end his life. And that is kind of our picture, you know, at the most severe, of what it actually looks like to trust in the world's economy. It will fail you and you will feel hopeless and like life isn't worth living. But I just read a few verses. So Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. It's good, isn't it? Gives us richly all things to enjoy. So, we know very clearly, I don't really need to say very much, that it's not really worth trusting in the world's economy. And probably many of us have been trusting in the world's economy, if we're really honest with ourselves, but that's failing. So let's just really think about, what does God's economy look like? What does it mean to trust in God's economy? You know, in order to understand what God's economy looks like, just very simply, we just need to look at the person who's leading it, investing it, God himself. Just look at who he is. You know, number one, he's a God who's love. Simple things. That's 1 John 4 verse 16. But once we really understand and comprehend that God is a God of love, then we're like, yeah, I can put my trust in a God of love with my money, my finances, with my needs. You know, he's a good God. Simple thing again. But really knowing in our hearts that he's a good God, he will provide for us out of his goodness. Another simple thing. He's a father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. That's in Luke 11. Tells us about that. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. That's who he is. Other things about him. He's gracious and forgiving. You know, sometimes maybe we've got some difficult financial situations going on in our lives and we feel a real guilt. We think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have made that mistake there. Maybe I shouldn't have got that loan, or I don't know. It could be anything that maybe we feel guilty for, and it's a load on our back. And so out of that guilt, maybe we feel that we need to sort this problem out because it's our fault we got into this situation. And that may or may not be true, but that might be how we feel. And the thing is, we can come to God, who's gracious and forgiving. He doesn't say to us, right, you got yourself into this mess, you need to sort yourself out. Yeah, we do need to take responsibility under him, but he is full of grace. He will help us. He will redeem the situation. He'll give us a strategy. He won't leave us by himself. And we really need to know that. Another thing about God, he works in partnership with us. He's a God who's a relational God. You know, sometimes we might think, oh, I wish God would just do this thing. But usually, he doesn't just do it. He likes to involve people in working out a solution. You know, for example, there's a situation that I knew about recently of a girl. It's not me. Sometimes when people say this, you think that it's them, but it's not actually me. she'd made some choices to push in for something, and it meant that she hadn't had a job and she was behind in her rent, and it's difficult for her. And a load of people put together some money to pay off her rent debt. That's it. She doesn't know who these people are, but they did this. And it's just like this amazing thing for her. And she'd been like praying and asking God to do something there. But God used those people to work with him, being prompted to give different amounts of money to organise it, for it to happen. So often I think that God, because he is a relational God, he likes to involve us, that he will work for us in partnership to see solutions come into the situations. He's a generous God. He's more generous than we actually realise. I don't know if we'll ever comprehend how generous God is. He is so generous. And so often when we think, you know, it was a real example to me of this one time in my life a few years back. And I really loved playing the piano. And I also was teaching the piano. And I was always praying, oh God, please give me a piano. Because I wanted to play it myself, but also it would have made life a lot easier if I could just teach in my house instead of having to travel around. And So I'd been praying for years, it seemed. It probably was, for a piano. And then also at the same time, and then one of my friends suddenly said to me one day, "Oh, I'm going to buy you a piano." I was like, "Really? Wow." This is like amazing. And then at the same time, I was doing a training year, and money was really, really tight, and I really needed God to like provide me with money just to pay basic bills and things like that. But yet God provided me with this piano, and I was thinking to myself, that's like, I'm really grateful for the piano, I'm really happy to have it, but why didn't you just tell that person to give me the money to pay my bills? But it was something about God's generosity and his father heart and him wanting to give me a nice gift. He wasn't like, "Oh, I have to pay your bills first," kind of thing. It was like, "I want to just bless you with this piano because I know that you'll enjoy it." And God does do those kind of things, and it's just important that we remind ourselves of that thing. Another thing, if we're looking at God's economy, is we need to consider the promises that we have as children, I've put, of the richest man in the world. You know, we just need to remember these things and learn to walk in the reality of them in faith, actually believe. I'm just going to read you different verses. Psalm 89, verse 11. This is talking about God. "The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them." That's really amazing, isn't it? Just to take that step and say, just, it's similar to that verse I read earlier. Like, everything in the whole world in the heavens is God's. It's all his. Another verse, Hebrews 13, verse 5. "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." Just think about that verse for a moment. You know, we look to money to get our security, to get our self-worth from, you know, to feel safe in the world that we live in. But we've got a greater promise than a promise of money. We've got the promise that God himself will never fail us and he'll never leave us. You know, it's just, we hear that verse so often, but every now and then I'm just like, wow, I just need to think about this. You know, God is never going to leave me. How amazing. What does that mean for how I'm living my life? What does that mean for how I'm approaching this situation? You know, if God is never going to leave me, then I'm okay. I don't need to love money because I've got God and he's therefore going to make provision for me. You know, just turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 4. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, we have this promise of peace, which is so important, and I've actually got an up-to-date testimony on peace. This week, I had set aside some money to get my car serviced and get some couple of new tyres and took my wing mirror out, and it was all perfectly planned. I had the money that I needed, and I thought, there's nothing wrong with my car. It's all going to be fine. Anyway, the really funny thing is, and this is the whole thing about, you know, really increasingly more and more cultivating lifestyle of making sure that we listen to God and don't miss the quick little things and just think, oh, that was a nothing. Because at the beginning of the week, I felt like God say to me, which in the light of the fact that I'd already saved the money, it was kind of funny, but I felt like God say to me, "When your car goes in, just go with it, don't worry about the money." And I was like, okay. So I had this in my mind. Then my car went in for its service, and I'm thinking it's all normal. Then I get halfway through the day, which was Friday actually, I get a phone call from the mechanic saying, leaving a message on my phone saying, "Vicky, you need to phone me back urgently about your car." And I was like, oh no, this doesn't sound good. And so I phoned them back, and then they proceeded to tell me these many things that were wrong with my car and how previous mechanics had made a mistake and put in a wrong part and it all corroding around the brakes and it was dangerous to drive. I was like, what? You know, I've been driving it along thinking it's all fine. And then he was like, you know, so we're going to have to buy this part, that part. He didn't know at this point how much it was going to cost. And I was like, oh my word, what am I going to do? I haven't got enough money to pay for it. You know, all these different thoughts. And for the next few hours, when I still didn't know exactly how much it was going to cost, it was like all consuming. You know, when you're like really frantic, you feel on edge because you don't know how much they're going to tell you it's going to cost. And yeah, I was just thinking, oh. So I was having my panic moments for a few hours. And then I was just, because I was around lots of people, then I kind of got by myself and I was like, okay, God, what am I going to do? And then I just felt this sense of God is with me. And I just felt like this absolutely incredible peace just come on me that just made me feel like, don't worry. I remember God had said to me, just go with it. And I was like, okay, I don't need to worry. And it's like, I can't describe it in words, but just peace descended on the situation. And I feel absolutely fine about it, even now, when there still isn't a solution to the provision, but I feel absolutely fine. And it was just, I thought, well, this is quite amusing how I'm just about to be speaking on trusting God's economy, and this happens to me on the Friday when I wasn't expecting it at all. But I just thought, wow, you know, the fact that we can have God's peace and live in it, and just, I just know deep in my heart that I don't, God is going to sort it out. I just know, like, and so, and it was really great today as well, because when we were praying before the meeting, Wisdom, who doesn't know about this situation, he came up to me, like they were praying for me. He put some pound coins in my hands and he would say, this is a sign of what's to come, or something like that. And I was like, ooh, it's very exciting. So it was just so great, because I've often thought to myself, God, I want to be in a place, and I want to be in it more and more with all kinds of things that God says in his word, of actually, even though it may not have happened quite yet, but I believe it's so much deep inside of me that I can just walk in the reality of that being true under that peace, even though I don't know how it's going to happen. Like, I can't work out in my head, how is this going to be okay? How am I going to work all this out? But it just, I felt like I just experienced that in this tangible way that was greater than something I've known before. And yeah, I just want to encourage you with that story. So I found out how much it was going to cost, and it was more than double what I had was expecting to pay, but I know that God is going to provide. So we got these promise of peace. And the other thing I want to pull out from these verses in verse 6 is the whole thing of thanksgiving. You know, if we can constantly stay in that place of thanksgiving, just thinking, what is God doing? What's he done for me? Just keep on thanking him. That will keep our hearts in a good place before him when we're choosing to trust in his economy, reminding ourselves of the way that God has provided, reminding ourselves of who God is, and thanking him for that. Some of these, I'll just tell you the verses, you can look them up if you want. You know, the famous one, Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. I'm not going to read it out, but it's just where Jesus is encouraging us, don't worry. You know, God looks after the sparrows. How much more is your heavenly Father going to look after you? You know, who by worrying adds a single hour or day, what is it? I can't remember what it says, to his life. You know, it's so true. And in these times, worry can consume us. But it doesn't need to be that way. God encourages us. Jesus encouraged us not to worry. So worry is not in God's economy. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That's a great promise for us to stand on. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Another verse for you to look up, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, it talks about there being an abundance for every good work. That's not just like just enough, an abundance for every good work. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. You know, we just, in trusting God's economy, we need to get these scriptures deep into our hearts. We need to meditate on them. We need to let them be our bread, be our food, so that our minds are renewed by this truth and we walk in it and we live it out. Another great passage to read is looking in Exodus. You can look in chapter 16, where it's a story of, like, you know, the Israelites in the desert, and God daily providing for them manna, bread from heaven. for 40 years, you know. Philippians 4 verse 19, God supplies our needs from his riches. So he supplies our needs out of his riches. That's quite good, isn't it? You know, Matthew 6 verse 10 to 11, where Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and he's telling them to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we would get our daily bread. You know, God's economy is the economy of heaven. I love thinking that. Yeah, God's economy is the economy of heaven. In heaven, there's everything that I need, and it's so abundant and beautiful and, you know, beyond what I could imagine. And this is the economy that we're trusting in, and we're told by Jesus to pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means what is available to us in heaven, we can bring down to the earth. So, we need to get ourselves full up with these verses, and there are so many more. We need to meditate on them. We need to let them change our mindsets. We need to let them go deep into our hearts so that they just become what we are living and breathing. And how do we live in God's economy? We live in his economy by faith. We live in it by faith. We know we don't work ourselves up into our heads of trying to believe it to be true. We do it by faith. We take that risk to believe that God is really who he says he is, and that his word is true. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. You know, we want to please God, so we want to be people who walk in faith. We want to be people who are not coming under the world's view, which would say, you know, we need to work it out in our heads, we need to be sensible. I'm not saying that we shouldn't use our brains, you know, take responsibility in our finances, but I'm talking about in faith of believing who God is and in his provision. And, yeah, you know, as we were coming into 2009, kind of over Christmas holidays, I was just thinking about, you know, what was going on in the world around us, particularly in the area of finance, and thinking, you know, for us as a church, for us as individuals in that church, how God's plans for us, you know, he doesn't want us to be struggling. He wants us to be having what we need to do what he's called us to do and to enjoy life. You know, he wants us as a church to be growing in our vision. We need finances to help that to happen. And I was just thinking about all these things and how, you know, for us as River, we really needed to see more financial breakthrough come into this year off the back of compared to last year. But if you saw it from a world perspective, you think, well, that's not going to happen this year. Maybe we need to slow down or whatever, which we all know that's not really what God wants us to do. Anyway, so I was just thinking about this, and I just had this real kind of faith from God to be like, you know what? Yeah, in 2009, things, difficult things are going in the world. Maybe different ones of us have already experienced difficult things financially, or, you know, there are possibilities of stuff happening. But despite all of that, I really firmly believe that God wants to bring incredible breakthrough and blessing to us as individuals and to us as a church, like supernatural things that are not just possible within the normal realms of stuff. And I was really feeling stuff about God cancelling mortgages, and we were like praying into it as a central team one time. And anyway, throughout my whole life, well, it seems like it anyway, especially when I was a little girl, my dad would be like, oh, it'd be so great if like a cheque would just come through the post and I'd be able to clear my mortgage. It would make my life so much easier. I'd often like, hear my dad say this. Anyway, January 2009, my mum and dad received some money and paid off their mortgage. And I really have taken hold of that. I very enthusiastically told my mum and dad this, and they probably love my enthusiasm. Anyway, I've really taken that as a prophetic sign for me, because I was already thinking about these things of what God wants to do and how he does want to supernaturally come in for us as individuals, as a church, and do incredible things. And also within that is the whole thing of us being a community and being a family and learning to share. I'm not saying that sounds a bit harsh, learning to share. I'm sure we do share, but kind of taking the sharing on to a new level. You know, I love it in Acts 2 when it's talking about the early church, and it's talking about that sense of sharing that they have, that some people were selling properties to help those in need and this kind of thing. And I just really feel that And this year, you know, some of us, maybe we already have experienced difficult things, or maybe we will do. And I think that there will be, I'm not saying that, like, in God everything's going to be perfect and no difficult things are going to happen. Difficult things may happen, but in those, God is going to make provision. And I really believe that part of that is going to be as we kind of own things together as one. So, like, someone over here, maybe they've lost their job or something difficult's happened. They're not isolated in it, because our culture is so individualistic and loves to isolate us. You sort the problem out. But we're sharing that, even though sometimes it's really hard to be honest about those problems because there's pride issues, or, you know, it's kind of against our culture to talk about money in those ways. But if we can be people who are sharing when it's difficult, looking out for each other, you know, maybe this person over here is having an amazing financial breakthrough, but they're helping this person over there where it's harder. And I really believe that that is going to be something that's going to really be happening this year. Something God is just, I know that we do it anyway, but I just feel that God wants to up it a level. And I do feel that we will see, and I already do know of some stories in River with individuals, of these supernatural occurrences where money comes through and mortgages are paid off or something extraordinary happens. Really believe that that's what God is wanting to do, and that's what God is wanting us to go for, is the fullness of Him, His supernatural provision in these times. You know, we want to, as River as a whole, you know, we've, most of you will know, if not all of you, about the idea of buying a central kind of venue, which will be really helpful for us in the kind of things that we do together as a church. The reality is, the only way that we're going to buy that is by supernatural provision. We don't have the money for it. We don't at all. We just about had to have enough money to start exploring plans or those kind of things that we have to do to kind of see whether it's a viable thing and give ourselves a foot in the door. But I really believe, as I'm sure you do and many others do, and there's been lots of prophetic words, that this is what God wants to give us. That means if God's going to give it to us, a supernatural miracle is going to have to occur for it to happen, which is exciting. Are you excited about this story which is going to occur? You know, I really believe that these things are going to happen. So I'm probably going to have to close. Just two more things I want to say and then we'll sum up. You know, it's just really important, just to simply again, just to remind ourselves that where is our self-worth or where is our identity coming from? You know, our world places it in money, how good your job is, how much you get paid, what your house is like. You know, that really is. And those things in our society are being shaken, and it'll be interesting to see what happens as a consequence of that. But it's important for us just to go back to God and just really know that our identity and self-worth is not in how much money we've got, how much we're being paid. You know, it's in God. And I just encourage us, just if that maybe strikes a chord with us, just to get into the presence of God and just let Him affirm who we are. Our self-worth and identity comes from Him. And the last thing I want to say is just about giving. You know, God is a generous God, and He calls us to be generous people. And, you know, in these times when there's all scaremongering going along, as well as things being tight maybe for us, it can be really easy to not engage with that generous spirit because we're fearful. But God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in generosity and trusting Him that we can be generous with what we have. And so I just want to encourage you to continue to walk in generosity. You know, it might be a small thing that you're giving, but it's about that heart of generosity. You know, a time in my life when I felt most free in generosity was at the time when I was preparing to go to Mozambique last summer. And in order for that trip, I needed thousands of pounds, you know, to pay for all the flights and all the stuff that was involved. And as seems to be the case often in my life, a few weeks to go and I still didn't have any money. And, you know, hadn't booked my flights or anything like that. And basically, I was like really praying, but I felt very peaceful. I was too busy to worry about it. I just thought, well, I know God's going to do something. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but this links in with the generosity thing. This Friday, I went to this thing in Wales, and I turned up, and it was complete craziness, and it was really late, and I was like, oh, what's going on in here? And Dave Jones was there. Yeah, it was that. What's it you call it? tubey juice. Yeah, it was lots of juice was going around. Dave Jones, which probably most of you know, he's a bit crazy. Anyway, he came up to me. They were like taking the offering, and he got the offering bucket, which is a really big bucket, and he like banged it on my head. But when he did it, I really felt like there was some kind of breakthrough spiritually. And then straight after then, first, just that evening alone, I got someone saying they're going to give me £200. Then someone said they're going to give me £1,000. I was like, really having the breakthrough. Got home, there was like £500 in the door. And then it was just this thing of the money gradually coming. But in that time, I just felt so free in a way that I have never felt before to give what God was telling me to give through those next few weeks. So I still didn't have enough money to pay for everything, but I just felt free to just be like, I'm walking this journey of faith anyway. If God tells me to give something, I'm going to give it. And it was the most amazing experience just to be free to give in response to what I felt God was putting in my heart to give. And God was still providing. So I just want to really encourage you just to walk in that generosity and in giving, even when things are tight, even though where fear can really set in, but it's a really freeing place to be. So I'm going to close. I just want to sum up. So basically, my main message today is that we need to be people who are trusting God's economy. We need to know who God is. He's that loving, good, generous Father who wants the best for us, who makes provision for us. We need to know the promises that are in the Bible, that we can meditate on them, let them go deep into our hearts, let them renew our minds, that with the Holy Spirit we can walk into that place where we know the peace of really believing that these things are true and that God really does love us and he will make provision for us. We need that gift of faith to really, you know, we enter God's economy by faith. Because we believe that he is who he says he is. We believe that his word is true. And, you know, let's just believe God for incredible things. Let's walk in thankfulness. Let's be generous. Let's be wise and sensible with our money as well. You know, I haven't talked about that, but obviously, you know, that does come into it. But, yeah, I just want us to pray.